السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ولقد آتینا لقمان الحکمۃ ان اشکر للہ ومن یشکر فانما یشکر لنفسه ومن کفر فإن اللہ غنی حمید صدق اللہ العظیم. فار سم ویکس ناؤ وی ہیو بین ڈسکسنگ حضرت لقمان علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام. آئی ہیو گیون یو سم بیک گراؤنڈ ایز ٹو ہو ہی واز. دیٹ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ گیو ہیم حکمہ اینڈ واٹ آر دا ڈفرنٹ میننگز آف حکمہ. اینڈ وی سیڈ دیٹ اف یو ہیو ٹو پٹ اٹ ان اے نٹ شیل, Hikmah is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a person the knowledge, like for the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, we'll say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the person the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and the person puts it into practice, then that is hikmah. Those who have said hikmah means intelligence, hikmah means good decisions and good opinions, and hikmah means many other things, but it finally all boils down to practicing upon the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we were discussing that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion he was addressing a very large congregation of people, and there suddenly a shepherd pitched up, and the shepherd asked him that, were you not also a shepherd at one time, grazing the cattle, grazing the sheep? How did you reach such high stage in your life? So the Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, indeed, I was that shepherd, but I practiced upon certain things, and if you practice upon it, Allah Ta'ala will also give you some high stages. Allah Ta'ala will also make you reach those heights. Allah Ta'ala will also make you His beloved. So we were discussing some of those issues that he had mentioned, or some of those things that he had mentioned. In some detail we have discussed one or two aspects. That he said lowering of gaze, that means lowering of gaze from all kinds of haram. Where there is a need to raise your gaze, then you will raise your gaze. But where there is no need and it is going to lead to haram, then you have to lower your gaze. Otherwise, go and look at the waters of the ocean, look at the beautiful animals in the jungle, look at the forest, look at the trees, look at the ships. Look at your wives, look at Kaabatullah Sharif, look at Makkah Mukarramah, look at Madina Tayyibah, look at Rauza Mubarak, look at the Quran Sharif, look at the Kitabs, look at anything that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made permissible. But take some pressure on the nafs and lower it from haram. And that is where our wilayat lies in these times that we are living. These are times of fitna, and our wilayat, our closeness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that crown of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's friendship, this is where it lies. That we can do a lot of other things. We will make our namaz, we will fast, we will go for hajj upon hajj and umrah upon umrah. But when it says that you must lower your gaze from haram, then that is where we all fail. But that is the test. If there's going to be no test, how we will know who is sincere, who is genuine, and who is in this world just for the halwa? That anything that is sweet, then we will accept it. But anything that is difficult upon the nafs, we will reject it. So he says this was one aspect, and I discussed it to some extent. Then he said controlling the tongue, not only from haram, but even from those things which are considered as layani, futile, they have no purpose at all. One is to ask a person how you are feeling, how's your family, how's your business going, to make the person comfortable, to talk necessary things. Or if the person is in his business, now he's going to talk about the things that he is selling in his business and what is the product in comparison with others, or what are the benefits of the product and what it costs. Now all those things are permissible, not only permissible, it's necessary. But we are talking about futile talk, which has no benefit at all, absolutely useless, creates nothing in the heart but darkness. And that is one of the signs of a true mu'min. One of the hadith sharif, it mentions, Alamatu iradillahi ta'ala anil abd ishtighaluhu fima la ya'ani. that the one of the signs that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat and mercy from a person is the person engaging himself in those things which are absolutely futile, useless, futile. They don't help the person in this world or no benefit in the akhirat. The person is sitting and talking cheerfully with his wife and his children, we won't call that futile. But I'm talking about those things which we all know. The person is glued to the television, hours and hours, days and days go by. 5 days cricket match, the person is watching for the 5 days. And then if it is some kind of a tournament, or it's a cup that they are playing for, which will soon happen, the World Cup, then people will be awake. The Tahajjud time, they will be watching the match. Sleeping time, they are watching the match. Namaz times, they are watching the match. The whole 2 months will go in there. Now there is a clear sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glance of mercy has been turned away from this person. He will still carry on with his business, he'll carry on with his activities of life. But if the mercy glance of Allah Ta'ala is not upon a person, then he is going to suffer restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will snatch away that sukoon from his heart. Uska sukoon chin gaya, kaisi hai talkhi hayat, jisne chakhe hai dosto fani buton ke namkiyat. So whoever is going to engage in such kind of futile, useless activities, or the person is going to engage in sins, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will snatch away that bounty of sukoon from his heart. How many of us can place our hands on our chest and take qasam and say that with everything that I have, I also have sukoon in my heart, tranquility, peace? How many of us can say that? So if we want that, then that is one of the things that we will have to do. So we are discussing that to some extent, and then we said that the third thing that he mentioned was about abstinence from lies, total abstinence from any kind of lies. Now look at our marketplaces, look at our bazaars, look at our business houses, look at our family lives, look at our homes, look at our relationship with our neighbors, with our children and with people. How much of lies we engage in. And we don't even consider it as some kind of major sin to unite the hearts of two people or to make an effort to reconcile parties that are at loggerheads, two brothers, two sisters, family members, Muslim brothers. So they to speak what in inverted commas we may term as white lies permissible. That no, he was talking very good about you, why are you upset for no reason? And you tell the other person the same thing just to get them together. But I'm talking about those lies which we are persistent in, and it is causing havoc in the society. Every day people are saying, the person spoke a lie, the person spoke a lie. I didn't expect him to speak a lie. And see, he has cheated me, he has robbed me, he has deceived me. I expected him to deal honestly and truthfully, but he lied. How much of it? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned about this lie, can a Muslim do this? He said, yes. Can he do that? Yes. He said, can he speak a lie? He said, no. That means a Muslim, he will never speak a lie. Other sins, he said, he can get trapped, he can fall into temptation. But a Muslim speaking lies, because the Muslim believes that my Allah is listening. Now imagine if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to give evidence at that moment which this person can hear, that this person is speaking a lie. What would be our condition? The person is speaking a lie, and if only Allah Ta'ala had to appoint angels who immediately announce that this person is speaking a lie, what would have been our condition? So there's no real benefit, because the person will sooner or later catch up, and then he will lose that respect altogether. And then there's so many other harms in lies, but which I'm not going to go into detail in today's bayan. But that hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeatedly comes to mind, and there is no hesitation in repeating it if it comes to mind. Ayatul munafiq salas. The signs of a hypocrite are three. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, none of us would like to be called a hypocrite. I myself wouldn't be like to call a hypocrite. And which Muslim would like that he be called a hypocrite? Now who is saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And he is saying the signs of a munafiq, of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks lies. إِذَا حَدَّسَ كَذَبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And when the person makes promise, then he breaks the promise. Another major complaint of so many business houses and so many family people and others. The person made a promise. He made a promise. And now it's going one stage further. People are just making a proposal. When the proposal is accepted, then without any valid reason, after some time, they break the proposal. Whereas that proposal is also a kind of a promise. Yes, if some new information has come to light, some new facts have come to light, the person did not know that this person is a drug addict, and genuine, authentic, reliable evidence has been received, not just hearsay kind of things. That's another very common weakness today. A person goes and puts a proposal for some woman, and next thing they start receiving phone calls. There is a drug addict, and he's already got one wife, and half a dozen children of that wife, and he's got this, and he's... Now they will give long, long stories just to break that proposal. This is haram. It is totally haram. And then that person who has done this will sooner or later suffer the same consequences in his life. Either his children, grandchildren, somebody along the line will suffer the same thing. Because he broke off somebody's engagement. Yes, if there is some genuine, reliable information, and we think that that person will then fall into a trap, they were not aware of it, and if they are going to give their daughter in marriage, then the daughter will suffer abuse and all kinds of problems, then it is necessary to inform that party, because you are saving somebody from destruction. But just on hearsay, or just rumors, or just scandal, all that falls under the same category. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that is the sign, signs of a hypocrite. Say three, that when they speak lies. When they make promise, they break the promise. Unconcerned. If the person was careful, he was cautious, he was conscious of the promise that he had made, but due to unforeseen circumstances, he was unable to fulfill that promise, then he is excused. But it is still necessary for him to inform the other party that why he was not able to meet up. What was the reason that he could not fulfill that promise? He must pluck up the courage and inform the party. Then he must not play hide and seek. That when he sees the person walking on the pavement that he was walking, then he crosses and walks on the other side. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. So he said that's another sign of the hypocrite. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and when he's entrusted, then he betrays the trust. Now I've explained this hadith sharif many times in different bayans. The trust is not only if a person gives you a watch and look after it. There's my car, just keep a watch over it. Or there's a little bit of money, look after it. That's not only the trust. The trust goes across the board. The father is a trustee over the children. Mother is a trustee over the children. The doctor is a trustee over the patient. The lawyer is a trustee over the client. The teachers are trustees over the pupils. The examiners who mark the scripts, they are also trustees. Everyone, and then we have the trustees of estates, of masajid, of madaris, and of properties and everything else. So different kinds of trust. So the sign of a Muslim is that he fulfills that obligation of trust, or otherwise don't take it. What is the need to be a trustee in an estate if we don't have the courage to do that which is right, or to say that which is haq and right? Because sometimes saying that which is the truth will cause some kind of friction, some kind of enmity and dislike. The father died, he made a will which was un-Islamic. Now you have been made a trustee, so you will have to have the courage to say that this is an un-Islamic trust. And although according to this trust you will inherit the whole property, but it is not right, and therefore it should be distributed in this manner. Now that person will say, no, but I want it according to how my father wrote out in the will. So there will be some sort of friction. So if we don't have the courage, then don't become trustees. But if we become trustees, then we have to fulfill the obligation of the trust. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that's another sign of a munafiq, that when he's entrusted, he betrays the trust. And then, in another hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when the person engages in some kind of dispute, or there's some kind of dispute, then iza khasama fajara. Then after that, the person loses all control over himself, and then his language becomes very abusive. He starts using vulgar language, he starts swearing, he starts cursing not only that person but his father, grandfather and the whole family. So these are signs of munafiqs. So So as Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says, another sifat which if you adopt, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will take you high, is that you control your tongue from any kind of lie. You must never speak a lie. Because once the person gets into the habit of lying, then it is very difficult to give up that habit. Then the person is going to speak lies when it's not even necessary for him to speak. Like that too, he shouldn't be speaking. But then every second word of his will be a lie. And people will lose their trust completely on this person. Now we go further, otherwise we can keep on discussing this point. And then he said that protection, safeguarding of chastity, protection from zina. Now this again I have discussed in many different bayans, in nikah bayans and other bayans. But this is the weakness of our society, it's the weakness of man. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the warnings that he gave. Why are we asked to have separate facilities? Or why are we told to have no intermingling unless necessary, of course, like in the bazaars or in the marketplace or at the airports or in the aeroplanes? Now, you can't avoid that. Or in Hajj and Umrahs. But I'm talking about unnecessarily in our homes. Total strangers are sitting together and having a meal and having a party, and they're going to the outside cafes and restaurants and everywhere. Why? Because they are friends. So their wives are together. Now, the wives afterwards end up with big, big problems. Who does not know? Is it a secret? Who does not know what happens? Shariat wants us to live a life of purity. Now you must have the courage. There must be no shyness in there. If we are invited for a function, and in that function the person has got everything mixed, and he says, no, you must have an open mind. You must be broad-minded, as I always say, that yes, you must be broad-minded. But not so broad-minded that the brains fall off. So we must be broad-minded. But then look at how many people's wives have run away with their friends, with their best friends. And how many best friends have run away with other people's wives. How much of confusion there is in the society. How many people are doubtful about the legitimacy of their own children. When disputes arise and when there's quarrels and when they come for a resolution of the problems, how many times I've heard with my own ears and I just look at the person shocked. He says, Maulana, I don't think the child is mine. My friend got involved. So Shariat wants a life of purity. Therefore, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged the young people or those who have the ability to marry to get married. Now just because of the cost factor, and the cost factor is not an imposition of Sharia. It is we who have followed the cultural practices of those who are disbelievers and made the cost factor such that it has become practically impossible for the poor man to marry his daughter. There must be a hall, there must be so many people, there must be the 5-course meal, there must be this and must be that. And as a result, so many people are sitting. So what else are they going to do? They are young, they are fit, they are healthy, and they are eating all good food. They are professional people, business people, or even ordinary working people. Now because of those factors, if they are going to delay the marriages, then it's going to end up with zina. So as Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam is warning, he said that if you want to get somewhere, you want to take off, how long are we going to remain on the ground? Don't we desire that we should take off? The vultures, they keep their gaze low on the ground because they are always after dead bodies, dead animals, dead corpses, or the corpses that are lying there, they're after that. Therefore, the vultures keep looking down. But the falcon and the eagle, they look up because they want to soar high, up above the mountains. But the falcon and the can only go up to a certain height. After that, it cannot go further. The spaceships can only go to a certain height. It cannot go further. But the mu'min and the Muslim and the believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made his heart such that he can soar so high that in a little while he's on the ground and next thing he can be on the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that person who is with the arsh, at the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we can just imagine then what kind of sukoon he must be having in his heart. The kings, they do not know about that sukoon. So protection, the person has to safeguard himself, avoid even going close to those things that will lead to zina. We know what are those factors, what are those things that are leading to zina and abortion in abundance. Young girls from our schools are going for abortion. In one area that I won't mention the place, but a Muslim doctor who was attending to the cases coming there, because it is legal now, a girl can just go and demand abortion. Said in 3 months he saw 22 Muslim girls coming for abortion. 22 Muslim girls came for abortion in 3 months. From our Muslim schools, some of them. So what is the reason? The reason is that we are not distancing ourselves from those things which lead to zina. The television, we know that after the person is going to look at the filthy pictures, or is going to watch the filth on the porn sites, or if the person is going to read a filthy magazine, then his passion will increase. His desires will increase. His control will weaken. Now he doesn't have a wife also. So what he's going to do? Then he's going to open the newspaper and look at the escort agency columns. Now these are the things that we have to distance ourselves from, no matter what desire comes in the heart that read those columns, just for fun and pleasure. But once the person is going to open it and read it for fun and pleasure, believe me, I am dealing with cases across the board. So many people have then landed themselves at the escort agencies. Or if not, at least they'll make some kind of a filthy phone call. And the nafs will get some kind of satisfaction. Or they will download some pictures on the cell phones. And thereafter, if they have to die, then their fathers and their grandfathers and their children will see all what they have left behind. So my respected brothers, from my deep recesses of my heart, I am telling you, out of great love, that we will never enjoy sukoon, peace and happiness unless we distance ourselves first from these type of sins. Then a little bit of ibadat also, a little bit of namaz, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat, an enjoyment of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has made halal. Across the board, look at how many things Allah Ta'ala has made halal for us. Who said you must not wear good clothes, or don't travel in a good car, or don't live in a good home? Or you must not be cheerful and happy with your wife, with your children, with your family, with your friends? Who said that you must not visit places where it is permissible to go and see those, the signs and the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Just a few years of restraining our hearts from the evil, and see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise us to great heights. So as Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says, that is another sifat, attribute, which you have to develop in you if you want to go up. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and the ummah. And inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, then another fortnight's time will continue. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.